My name is Becky Schnexer, and you're listening to the Expedition Schnexer Podcast. Thank you for joining this special season of the Expedition Schnexer podcast, all about Antarctica, preparation for the expedition itself, and what happens afterwards. Hey there, thank you for coming back for another episode about my current expedition in Antarctica. Today is the 5th of November, 2023, and we officially made it to Antarctic waters. We have made it through the Drake Passage. We're kind of at the end of it, honestly. Last night, my friends, I don't know if you listened to the last episode, and I was just getting ready to go to bed, and the ship had started to roll back and forth. Well, it continued to roll, and we had a ton of movement. I found it really, really hard to sleep because as the boat or the ship is rocking from side to side, I was in my bed, and I was being rocked from side to side, which is great, except for the rocking was so intense that I was literally sliding in my bed, and the bed is not that large, but I am kind of small. And so from side to side, I was being just kind of slid side to side in my bed. I tried lots of things to minimize that movement from side to side. I tried to kind of wedge myself in a corner, or, you know, like put one leg on one side of the bed next to the wall and one on the other side of the frame and kind of get myself wedged in there. I kind of put my elbows out, hoping that that would wedge me in place. But I did get some sleep, but definitely not a lot at all. So I'm quite tired today, but the good news is the rocking was intense. I didn't get sick at all. Some people are not faring too well with this type of motion, but that's pretty normal when you are out in open waters, especially in the Drake Passage. We knew kind of what we were getting into, or the possibility of what we were getting into. And some people they're still recovering. We're still moving. We're rocking quite a bit, but not as much as earlier in the day. I actually have a video of my soup bowl, and you can see the liquid in my soup going from one edge of the bowl to the other edge of the bowl. We were rocking that much, and the bowl of soup was only about halfway, because experienced staff here and crew on the ship, they know that you can't fill things all the way to the top, especially when you're in the Drake Passage. So fascinating to see that, but I'm doing quite well. So that's the good news. Today we saw our second and our third iceberg, which was amazing. Yesterday we saw our first one. Today, the third iceberg that we saw. So yesterday was one. We saw two and three today. This third iceberg that we saw had the most interesting, fascinating, magical shade of blue in it. And I found out that the shade of ice, whether it's white, clear, whether it's blue or any shade of blue, will tell you a little bit about the age of the ice. So oftentimes, like if you have an ice cube in your drink, or you've made ice in the refrigerator, right, it's cloudy, it's got some white portions to it. And that's because of the oxygen content in that water when it was frozen. So there's lots of air bubbles in there. There's particulates in there as well. So as glacial ice is compacted, we've got layers of ice and snowfall that get heavier. They push down. These pieces of ice, the oxygen, those air bubbles and particulates get pushed out of the ice, and it starts to get this blue color to it. And so you'll see lots of different shades of blue. So blue ice is old ice. It's older than white ice. So you've got your white cloudy ice, you've got your blue ice, and then you've got another type of ice called black ice. And it's not actually black, it's actually quite clear. because it is so old, it's been so compacted over many, many, many years that all of the oxygen has been pushed out. And so it's crystal clear. You can see right through it. But the thing is, when that clear ice is floating in open water, it blends in with the ocean. So it's called black ice because it kind of looks black, just like you might have heard or experienced black ice on streets where you live. It's just ice that takes on the color of the things that are around it and has a low oxygen content. So that has been super, super cool to learn about. I'm sure once we start zodiac activities, once we get into a little bit calmer waters, that we will encounter some of these things really, really close up. So definitely looking forward to that. Today we did some zodiac practice. We practiced getting into them, learning how to get in properly to a zodiac, how to get out properly of a zodiac, which I've done before in my expedition to Galapagos back in 2018. And the procedures are exactly the same on the ship. So I felt pretty confident and I passed the practice run, which was super great. So tomorrow, I believe we're planning on making a landing, going to see our first little glimpse of Antarctica. So that is exciting. But what our expedition leaders will tell you is that everything is just up in the air at all times, whether we're going to make a landing or not, or even if we set out into the zodiacs, we might have to turn around before making a landing because conditions change so quickly here that there are often, you have plan A, and I'm pretty sure they have plan all the way to Z because of ever-changing and quickly changing conditions that happen. So planning to have a landing tomorrow, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. That's a tomorrow thing. Our expedition leader, Kata, says that's a tomorrow Kata problem. It's not a today Kata problem. And that's something that has resonated with me today. I spend a lot of time over planning, overthinking, over worrying about all kinds of things, and where that can serve me very well to know and to anticipate problems. Oftentimes, it takes me away from being present in the moment. And so hearing Kata say, that's a tomorrow Kata problem, I've been trying to think about that a little bit more in what I'm doing. Is this a right now Becky problem? Or might that be something that Becky should wait to worry about tomorrow? Because I might not even need to worry about it. It might not even become an issue at all. So what is it right now? That's the Becky issue or Becky problem or Becky challenge that needs to be handled rather than worrying about what happens in the future. And also today, slightly different from the lesson I learned from Kata, is Adrian, which is another one of our naturalists, gave us a lecture on seals of Antarctica, which was also super fascinating. And as he was giving this lecture, the sun came out for the first time. We haven't seen the sun in a few days. It's been quite overcast, which is actually quite beautiful. But it was interesting to have the sun come out today and just, oh gosh, there it is. The sun shines in Antarctica as well. It's actually quite warm when you go out on the deck and the sun is out. It's not actually very warm. It's 5 degrees Celsius today. 41 degrees Fahrenheit. So not super, super cold, but definitely not warm. But it feels very, very different when the sun is out. But I learned a lot about seals today from Adrian. And I didn't know that seals evolved from bears. Who knew? I didn't until this lecture today, which was super cool to hear about. And hearing too that seals have countercurrent blood streams in their limbs. So in their flippers, they don't have blubber or fur on their flippers, but they have a very interesting countercurrent blood system that makes sure that they don't lose feeling or they don't lose a limb when it gets cold. That's how they have adapted to the cold climate in polar regions. And specifically, since I'm in Antarctica, that's what we're talking about. And I also learned about fur seals. I saw fur seals in Galapagos. They were endemic to that space. But the fur seals, what I didn't know, and now I'm curious, I don't know if this is true about the Galapagos fur seals or not, but the fur seals here in Antarctica have bacteria in their saliva that rots the flesh of whatever they attack. So we definitely don't want to mess with fur seals, but I thought that was an interesting, just an interesting characteristic to have as a predator. You know, the thing that you're attacking, your saliva has a specific bacteria in it that helps kind of immobilize, honestly, and start rotting the flesh of the thing that you're catching. That was just it was a mind-blowing fact that I didn't know until today, and that I just started becoming a little more curious about and trying to make connections to other things. But way cool to hear about that. We also learned about the leopard seal, which I'm so curious. I'm really, really hoping that we see a leopard seal. That's definitely on my list of things that I would like to see. And of course, if you don't know, or maybe you do, they are an apex predator here in Antarctica. They feed a lot on krill and on penguins. So while I don't necessarily love the fact that they eat penguins, it would be epic to see a leopard seal in action going after penguins and possibly catching one, just to, you know, observe that with my own eyes in person. But we also heard about the Weddell seal. And the Weddell seal, they create these breeding holes in ice. And the way that they do this is they use their breath. So they use their hot breath, kind of like an air dryer, to melt ice, to create these breeding holes so that they can go in, they can breed, and they can move along. But we saw some video of this in action, and it was almost one of those videos that you might see on social media that has, you know, some silly narration or sound effects going on in the background. But watching these seals literally use their breath, the heat of their breath, to melt the ice, to create these holes where they are breeding, was just a fascinating thing to see. So I'm kind of hoping now that I've seen this in a video, maybe we'll see some breeding holes somewhere when we make a landing, or maybe even get lucky enough to see a Weddell seal creating a breeding hole. Wouldn't that be something fantastic? Well, my friends, the day felt a lot longer than it was because I'm just super tired. You might not be able to hear it in my voice, but I feel it in my body. If you were here, you'd probably see it, evidence of my exhaustion on my face. I did not sleep super well last night. So hopefully tonight we'll get some better sleep, because we're going to be out of the Drake Passage for real, and hopefully into calmer waters. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, you guys, that we get to make a landing tomorrow. That would be super terrific. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And I hope you guys are doing great back home or wherever you are in the world. And I can't wait to tell you more about what happens tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Expedition Schnexer. I hope you tune in next time.